This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Parshas Chaye Sarah, we have an extraordinary pasuk and a fascinating medrash. Pasuk says that when Eliezer approaches Rivka and asks her to identify herself, she says she's Bas Besuel Ben Milcah. She's the daughter of Besuel, granddaughter of Milcah. And yet, when Eliezer recounts the story of his engagement with Rivka, he tells the family that when he asked her to identify herself, she said, Bas Besuel ben Nachor. So when she actually identified herself, she said, I'm the granddaughter of Milcah. But when he recounts that event, he says she said she was the granddaughter of Nachor. Furthermore, when the Torah itself identifies Rivka for the first time, in terms of her lineage, it says she's the granddaughter of Milcah. So what is going on here with these different explanations or these different identifications of who exactly Rivka was? Is she the granddaughter of Milcah? She is. Or is she the granddaughter of Nachor? Which she is. But why is it that in one situation she's described one way and in another she's identified another way? That's a question that the Psukim present. Now, the Rishonim suggest that she was really the granddaughter of Milcah, not to the exclusion of Nachor, but that's how she identified herself, and there are different reasons that are offered. Perhaps this is the way of young girls to identify themselves by their grandmothers rather than by their grandfathers. Or the flip side of that is that the social norms of the day, the kavod of being associated with Nachor was greater than the kavod of being associated with necessarily with Milcah. And so therefore, when Eliezer recounts the story, he changes it and he says she was identified as the granddaughter of Nachor. But I think that there is another layer here which I think can be uncovered if we look at one other piece, and that is that there's a medrash, which also presents a problem. And after I present the problem of the medrash, I'm going to share with you an idea that I think both explains the medrash and this anomaly in the psukim. So what does the medrash say? Medrash says, Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh, that there's a pasuk in Koheles that says that the sun rises and then the sun sets. So the medrash says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, V'chiyein on the Yodin Shizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh. We need Koheles to tell me that the sun rises and the sun sets? We don't need Koheles to tell me about the nature of the world. We need Koheles to tell me about the meaning of the world. So what's the Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh? Sun rises, the sun sets. No, so says the Medrash, Ela ad shelo yashki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimsho Shel Tzadik, Hu Mazriach Shimsho Shel Tzadik Chavero. The point of this pasuk is to teach us that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manhig the world, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes events is such that he does not let one tzadik die before another tzaddik's light is on the ascent. He does not let the light go out, i.e. the death of one tzaddik, before the light of another tzaddik begins to rise. Meaning that from generation to generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let one generation die out completely before the new generation takes over. So there is continuity and there is connection. And even as the nature of life is that people are born and people die, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensures that there is a constant presence of individuals in the world who are revealing the divine light of Hashem in society. And that's Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh, that the sun rises before the sun sets, meaning that before one tzaddik passes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays the seeds for another tzaddik to already replace them. And the Medrash gives us a whole bunch of examples of this, examples of Chazal. On the day, for example, that Rabbi Akiva died, Yehuda Nasi was born. Yom Shemes Rabbeinu Nola Darav. The day that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, then Rav Ada Bar Ahava was born, etc., etc. A whole bunch of examples here of Chachamim. But then the Medrash continues and gives us sites, examples in the Chumash, in Tanakh. And these examples each come with a pasuk. So here's the first one. Ad shelo hishkiya shimsho shel Moshe, before Moshe's sun set, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the sun of Yehoshua would begin to rise. As the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lechas Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay, we have a pasuk, mentions Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun is on the rise before Moshe's death. Next, Ad shelo shaka shimsho shel Yehoshua, before Yehoshua's sun set, before he passed on, Zarcha shimsho shel Osniel ben Kenaz. Then the first shofet, Osniel ben Kenaz, his sun began to rise. And we have a pasuk for that in Yoshua. Vayilkedas Niel ben Kenaz, that Yosniel ben Kenaz conquered a city. So there we see that even before the death of Yoshua, Yosniel ben Kenaz's star is on the ascent. Then we have with Eli and Shmuel. Ad shalosh hakashim shoshal Eli, before Eli HaKohen dies, Zar hashim shoshal Shmuel. Shmuel's star is already on the ascent. As the pasuk says, V'ner Elokim tarim yichbeu Shmuel shocheh b'echal Hashem. Shmuel is dwelling in the house of Hashem before the death of Eli. And finally, we have one more example here. And this is the example of Rivka and Sarah. Ad shelo hishkia shimsha shel Sarah, before Sarah's light went out, before her sun set, his riach shimsha shel Rivka, the light, the sun, the star of Rivka begins to rise. And here's the proof text. Hine yolda Milka gam hi banim. Pasuk says that Milka had children. And only after it tells us that Milka had children do we know that Sarah died. So what's interesting here in the Medrash is that all of these examples in which one tzaddik passes, one tzaddik is born, or one tzaddik begins their ascent before the other tzaddik passes, each pasuk that supports that transition of power, as it were, mentions the name of the person who's on the ascent, with one exception. And that's Sarah and Rivka. When it says, until Sarah died, before Sarah died, Rivka's light was on the ascent. And what's the pasuk? A pasuk that doesn't even mention Rivka at all. When Yoshua and Moshe, Yoshua is mentioned in the pasuk. Yoshua and Asniel ben Kenaz, Asniel ben Kenaz is mentioned in the pasuk. Eli and Shmuel, Shmuel is mentioned in the pasuk. But when it comes to Sarah and Rivka, Rivka is not mentioned anywhere. We have an allusion. Hine yolda Milka gam hi banim. Milka, the mother of Rivka, she had the children. And that's how we know. Why is Rivka's name not mentioned? And now that Rivka's name is not mentioned, why do Chazal assume that Rivka was born? It says Milka had children. Milka means she had children. And we know from the Psukim that Rivka was not an only child, and nor was her brother, she and her brother Love, an only children. There were many people in the family. So who's to say that Rivka was born here? Why did Chazal read this pasuk and assume it to be the case? So just to sum up here, we have two questions. One is the anomaly in the psukim in the Torah, that in one situation, Rivka self-identifies as the granddaughter of Milka, but when she's identified by Eliezer, then she's the granddaughter of Nachor. So that's question one. And question number two is the pasuk in the Torah that talks about, you know, Rivka somehow coming into the world and mentioning Hine Yolda Milka. Milka had children. I mean, Milka's the grandmother. And who's to say that the children here that are being mentioned are even talking about the Rivka? Maybe it's her brothers. So I think there's one idea which really answers both. And that is understanding that when Rivka is identified that she is the granddaughter of Milka, what she's basically saying is, don't think that I identify with the Nachor side of the family. I'm on the Milka side of the family. So what's the Milka side versus the Nachor side? Well, Milka was the daughter of Haran. Her great-grandfather was Haran. And Milka married her uncle Nachor. So her uncle Nachor and her father Haran were brothers. So when Rivka says, I'm, you know, the granddaughter of Milka, not the, you know, and that's my main identifier, what's she accomplishing here? Milka's side of the family is Haran. Nachor's side of the family is Nachor. But Nachor and Haran are brothers. They're all brothers. So what do we accomplish? What does she accomplish by identifying herself with the Milka side of the family rather than the Nachor side of the family? And I think here the answer is extraordinary, based on Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, you know who Haran was? Haran was a guy who was similar but very different than Avram Avinu. We remember the Medrash. The Medrash says that Nimrod called Avram and Haran to task for potentially denying his divine character and having loyalty to Hashem. And Nimrod said to Avram that he had to renounce his belief in Hashem. Otherwise, he would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Avram held strong within his emunah and his faith in Hashem. Nimrod threw him into the furnace and he came out alive. When Haran was faced with the same question, he basically held back and said, let me see what's going to happen with Avram first. And he sees that what happens to Avram, Avraham is saved. So he says, oh, okay, I believe in Hashem, I believe in Nisim, Niflos, you can throw me into the furnace, I don't care. I believe in Hashem. and he throws Haran into the furnace, and Haran is immediately incinerated. So Chazal don't have very, very positive things to say about Haran, because Haran's emuna is krum emuna, it's corrupted emuna. You know, it's just based on what happened to Avraham. That's not true emuna, that's not real faith. And yet, says Chasam Sofer, do you know who comes out of Haran? I'll tell you who comes out of Haran. Kol Kedushas Yisrael. To quote, Yatza Mimenu Kol Kedushas Yisrael. All of Kedushas Yisrael emanates from Haran. Not from Avram Avinu, from Haran. How so? Because Haran had three children. He had one daughter, Sarah. Sarah marries Avraham. Through Avraham, they have Yitzchak and Yaakov and God's Klal Yisrael. Okay, Haran has another child, and that child is Milcah. And through Milcah, the granddaughter is Rivka. Rivka marries Yitzchak. Together they have Yaakov and God's Klal Yisrael. And Milcah also has, through her, there's a grandson, and that is Lavan, Rivka's brother. And through Lavan, we have Rachel and Leah. And Rachel and Leah marry Yaakov, and we have God's Klal Yisrael. So from Haran, we have on the mother's side all of the Imahos, or all of the main Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And then on the men's side of the ledger, we have two out of the three Avos. We have Yaakov coming through Haran and Yitzchak coming through Haran. So, and furthermore, says Chasam Sofer, that not only that, but Haran had yet another child. So he has Sarah, he has Milcah, and he has Lot. And Lot, of course, is the father through Rus HaMoaviah of David HaMelech and ultimately Melech HaMashiach. So you know who this guy Haran is? Haran is an Eisfarf. Haran is a guy with corrupt emunah. Haran, he's no Avram Avinu. And yet, one should not dismiss Haran. One shouldn't dismiss Haran. Because Haran produces Kol Kedushas Yisrael. Even though he is imperfect, even though his emunah is imperfect, even though his life is imperfect, even though his accomplishments are imperfect, even though his strategies are imperfect, even though his whole connection to Hashem is based on a tenuous idea of seeing what happens to Avraham first, nevertheless, Kol Kedushas Yisrael comes out of Haran. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And that's what Rivka says when she says, I am the granddaughter of Milcah. Don't link me to the Nachor side of the family. I'm the granddaughter of Milcah, which means I'm on the Haran side. Haran is a man who is imperfect, but yet shall not be dismissed, shall not be dismissed, shall not be canceled, shall not be considered a zero for not in the absence of being 100. And how many times do we look at children or talmidim or neighbors or family members and we say, if they're not 100, we define them by their flaw and turn them into a zero. And Rivka says, I want you to know, my identity is Haran. My identity is Haran. That even in the through the imperfection, there is the capacity for greatness. And this explains, I believe, also the Medrash. The Medrash in each one of these cases says that before the tzaddik passes away, already the seeds of a new tzaddik are born. And what's the pasuk for Rivka and Sarah? Hine yolda Milcah gamhi banim. Through Milcah, Milcah also had children. What does it mean that Milcah had children? Milcah's the grandmother. What does it mean that Milcah had children? It means that it's the Haran line of the family. It's the Haran line of the family that is already producing the seeds for greatness, for Kol Kedushas Yisrael. And that existed even before the death of Sarah Imenu. So we learned something really amazing from this identification with Milcah. Not just how to understand the Psukkah maybe a little better, and not just perhaps how Chazal understood the idea that Chazal proposing through identifying Milcah as the identity of Rivka before the death of Sarah. But it's also giving us a way to perceive ourselves, to perceive others, to perceive our children, to perceive anyone in our orbit who is less than perfect. We shall not dismiss, we shall not have the chutzpah to dismiss people for their lack of perfection. We often allow ourselves the ability to overlook our own imperfections. We don't give that same latitude to the imperfections of others. Very often, or perhaps more often than we would like, we define those around us by their imperfections, and we define ourselves by overlooking our imperfections. And just as we do that for ourselves, we should also have that generosity of spirit and breadth of mind and capacity to do that for others. And in doing so, we would be carrying on the legacy, maybe not of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu has an extraordinary legacy. He's the Avi Avos. But it's a legacy of Haran, the legacy of the imperfect. He's also, lahavdil in a certain sense, and we have his DNA. We have the spiritual DNA of Haran as well. Because through Haran comes Kol Kedushas Yisrael. If we're able to hold on to that thought, perhaps, just perhaps, we can create families and communities and a Klal Yisrael that is even more vibrant and has a greater capacity to accept and disseminate the Kedusha that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael, for us and into the world.